Well, when Clint asked me if I would, I said, I was thinking, how can I get out of this? I'm used to speaking with children in Sunday school and children's church. So I'm thinking, how do I politely say no? Then somebody spoke in my heart. And God reminded me that I had asked for opportunities to share his word. Yes. So here we go. I was born in Peoria, Illinois, in the late 40s. And if you're wondering, where is Peoria? If you look at the map, you find Chicago. You look at the map, you find St. Louis. If you look in the middle of those two cities, is Peoria. It was known as the heart of Illinois. I was born to a single mother. My father had left my mother before I was born. So in the late 40s, to be a single mother was very difficult. My mother was a laundry worker, very low in pay. She worked at a hospital. So things were tight. To find a home to live in was very difficult because nobody wanted to rent with a child. So my first few years of life, I was sent out to babysitters or family members. But basically, the first part of my life was my mom and me. Now, one thing about my mother, you had to go be at church on Sunday. The only way you could get out of being church is being dead. Well, I loved Sunday school, so at that time, there was no problem. The church that I attended as a small child, we had church, we had Sunday school, church in the afternoon, and that was the extent. I was raised as an apostolic Christian, which is very much Mennonite-ish comparison. So we moved from house to house, a one-room house, a two-room house. But on Sunday, we were in church. My first Sunday school teacher was a Marie Rickenbach, my first grade Sunday school teacher. And I love Sunday school. And one Sunday, as we came out from Sunday school, I recited to my mother Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I was so proud of myself as a first grader that I have memorized God's word. And wherever we went, we had to walk. There was no car, couldn't afford a bus, we walked. So to this day, I can remember walking home to this basement suite, skipping along with my mom, quoting this verse over and over and over again. I think she might have got tired. But I was so proud that I knew a Bible verse. So years considered on. As I said, my father was not part of my life. He had left her, so there was just us. In grade 2, we had moved to a small little basement suite, and there I was in second grade, and that Christmas, I did receive a gift from my father. It was a bag of Christmas candy in a little case, and I was so happy, and he sent a letter. And the only thing I remember about that letter today is he said, I am not a bum. Of course, okay. But I do remember in grade 2 with that parcel, my mother knew his address, and I remember writing a reply. And in that reply, I wrote John 3:16. Not knowing if he would ever read it, not knowing anything about him at all. So the letter went off. And through my whole life, I have never met my father or had any other conversation with him, and he has since passed away. There's more about that story later. So mom and I, we lived on this block, and down the road there was a little Presbyterian church, a Dr. Dunn. And by the way, he was from Canada. And there was Pioneer Girls there. And I so wanted to go to Pioneer Girls. So off I skipped down to the little church saying, here I am. And I wanted to join, but I had heard that you had to be 8 years old. I was 7. I lied. And did I? But I enjoyed Pioneer Girls. I enjoyed the ladies that were there, God-inspiring ladies. And while there, even though I loved Jesus, I loved going to Sunday school, hearing Bible stories, I didn't know anything about salvation. But through these ladies at Pioneer Girls, when I was 8 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I was in Pioneer Girls practically all of my childhood and into my teen years until I was about 13 or 14. But I'll come back to Pioneer Girls later. Now, it might seem it was easy. It wasn't. This part of my life is very hard to talk about because I have given this part of my life at the cross. I laid it there. And I don't want to pick it up again. Even though my mother struggled very hard, she was also an abuser. When my mother would get angry, I was abused. I have been spanked with broom handles, electric cords, and knocked onto the ground to have your head put into the cement floor. I do have stitches in the back of my head from one of those encounters. I don't want you to think bad about my mother. I forgave her because I know the struggles that she had, especially in the 40s and 50s, single parent had nothing to fall back on like they do today. So I had to give it, but somehow or another, I found a way to, when my mother went that way, to break away from her and run out the door. Now, this might sound really horrible, but a lot of times a mother would have such a grip on my person that the only way I could get away from her was to bite her. And then she would loosen her grip. I could run out the door and stay outside for a couple of hours, wandering around the streets, finding a place to hide, and then come back to the house, and everything was fine. But one day I did realize I had to give that to the Lord when I was much older and forgive her. But it was a difficult time. Now I've lost my place. But anyhow, we moved around different places, find a cheaper place to live. And when I ended up in third grade, I had my dog, I had my bike. So off to an adventure, me and Bootsy went. I could get into some mischievous troubles, but it was me and Bootsy. One time, I thought it'd be kind of cool to light a cigarette up. So I got enough money together, bought a pack of cigarettes, just like my grandpa. He smoked Camels. I thought I would too. So I lit up, took a couple puffs, crashed it out, threw it in the garbage. My mom came home. Where do these cigarette butts come from? Oh, Bootsy brought those home in the garbage, because he did. He would bring garbage home. So I tried to blame it on my dog. It didn't work, my mom knew. I have to admit, I got a really good whooping, but I never put a cigarette near my mouth again, because I know what my mom would do. So life continued on. We had different altercations once in a while. Sometimes neighbors would have to intervene. At one time, the police had to intervene, but I was still with my mother. We finally ended up moving, and going to school was very difficult for me. I couldn't read very well. So my mother thought, Christian school. There was a good Christian school in town. She was able to save enough money for me to go. So off to the Christian school so I could learn to read a little bit better and be a better student. I enjoyed the Christian school. I enjoyed the people that were there, the teachers. In sixth grade, a teacher came into my life that I will never forget. Man teacher in sixth grade, Mr. Montgomery. Had a family of three children, and I just loved him. He was a good father figure for me. And I ended up babysitting for his family. They had a fourth child. I babysat, I cleaned house. And before too long in junior high, I was cleaning house and babysitting for four pastors in the community. One of my jobs was ironing. Well, I had four pastors, white shirts. White shirts. I want you to know, folks, I am very excellent at ironing white shirts and ironing. Today, my children think I'm sick because I still like to iron. I iron everything. So I had these job opportunities of these four pastors, got 50 cents an hour or whatever they could afford to pay. So Mr. Montgomery and his family is very deep in my heart. And I know right now he's in heaven, him and his wife. So that was a joyous time for me, even though this black cloud was still over me. Well, we moved different places. And while I was at this Christian school, I met a dear friend. Her name is Sharon. Her father was an assembly pastor, and she invited me to come to youth. So off to youth I would go and just have a joyous time. Well, one night at youth, there was a buzz in the air. Have you heard? Have you heard the Williamses are coming? Have you heard? Four boys, they're coming. To me, I could care less because I already had my eye on one. And it wasn't a Williams. But everybody was in a big buzz about it. So, okay, who cares? Well, this one particular night at youth, I was busy spying out the land that I had already set my eyes on. And the youth teacher said, "Levon, would you pray?" I stood up to pray. Somebody else was standing up praying. My time. I'm supposed to pray. Who is this person who is praying in my space? So I kind of sat down and let this other person continue to pray. After youth, I went and spoke to this person. It was Vaughn. And to this day, I'm sure the youth pastor said my name. So it's been a discussion for many years. Who did she really say? So youth was wonderful. We played ping pong on the weekend. We went to the park, played on the swings, and we're all teenagers. After church, we would go to the burger, steak and shake, and just have a wonderful time as youth. Then one day, the Williamses had to leave Peoria. They had just come back from Brazil, but their visas, they had to get sorted out. So off my friend went. We were friends. So life continued on. High school began. And here we are, okay, back to youth one night. And who should come in? The Williamses. They had come back to Canada. We were able to come back to the States and stay. Now, you might think I'm silly, but to this day, I remember after youth and before the evening service, standing outside this little church. The sun was shining brightly, and we were all sitting around having a good time. All of a sudden, Cupid shot his arrow. It landed here. And not too long after that, we dated for 3 years. Now, this might surprise people. We got married when I was in grade 12 because I was 18, but I had flunked a grade, so really, I was age. We got married at the end of January, and next month, be 55 years. So the day we got married, now this is, my mother would not come to our wedding. I understand where she was at. I was her only child. I was the only person. But somehow or another, she couldn't do it. Okay. So after we got married, we took her corsage, we took cake and juice, and we went to visit her. So off we go to visit my mom. I gave her hugs and kisses, and I says, we will definitely be back. Of course, she still had my dog, Bootsy. So I forgave my mom. I didn't understand where she was at. I understood well. But so life went on. Our children came along. And in the meantime, we both worked in Sunday school. Oh, I should say, we got married Saturday. Vaughn taught Sunday school Sunday morning. Monday, I was back at school setting exams. There we are. But I graduated from high school, and I'm going to throw this in. He said to me, if you graduate in the top 10% of your class, I'll buy you a sewing machine. Today, I still have that 1965 sewing machine. It's the best. But it did cost him $200, $10 a month for a long time. But I love my sewing machine. So our children started to come on, and all of a sudden, I worked at a hospital, and our first son was to be born. And I knew that everything was going to be okay. I prayed to God. Well, anyhow. But the day that he was born, problems, big problems. Our pastor came, took Vaughn aside, because Vaughn had been told he had a choice. Me or the baby. And he told the pastor, let's pray. He told the doctor, you go and do the best you can. In the meantime, we're going there and pray. Well, Louis sits on that back pew. He's a miracle baby, born 10 and a half pounds. But I was very ill afterwards. But I was so happy I have a baby. And I, not wisely, said to Vaughn, he was our first, he will not be our last. As an only child, I didn't want that for him. Needless to say, he wasn't impressed with those little words that I said. Because I, at that time, did not realize the severity of the birth. So then we had Yvette and Chad Thomas. Then one day, God started, and we both were teaching Sunday school, super church. One day, God put something in our heart, Vancouver. What do you mean, Vancouver? Well, his parents had moved to Red Deer and then over to Vancouver. I don't want to move just because my in-laws are there. I loved them dearly. I wanted to make sure it's what God wanted for us. So we prayed. We went to see the Canadian Council. He said 1 year. It'll take 1 year to get the papers through and everything. And this was in the springtime. But in my heart, I thought, oh, to be there for Christmas. What fun that would be. So we came home, did our papers. 6 weeks. 6 weeks, September, we had the papers on our dining room table. Okay, now we have to sell our home. Vaughn had a vision of who was going to buy our home. That happened, and off we went in a 15-passenger van, a little U-Haul behind because our furniture had gone on before us. We had three kids and two collies in the van. They were our show dogs. So off on our trip we went. A new adventure that God had put before us. So traveling, and if you've noticed the highways that are having trouble right now with ice, well, in 1974, this day, At 11 o'clock tonight, we landed at Douglas Crossing. So today is our anniversary for landing in Canada. But on our trip through the mountains, the snowstorm, it was horrendous. And we said, God, you have to help us. We're here, we're going through the mountains, road we have never, ever traveled. And the snowstorm was so bad you could not see in front. All of a sudden, out of this side here, a Jeep came. And it went from post to post to post. We'll follow him. We followed him. Then all of a sudden, he was gone. Where did he go? Okay, God, we need help. We don't know what to do. Another car came. From post to post to post until we got to Baker, Idaho, and we were at the bottom of the hill, light shining up there. We could barely see it. We'll stop up there. So up we went. We stopped. Went to a hotel. Now we have 3 kids, 2 dogs. Are they going to let us in? We assured them that our dogs were trained. Our kids were too. So they allowed us to stay in the hotel far down, way down there. But within an hour, that hotel was full because of the storm, and they were doubling up on truckers. God had seen us through that, and then the rest of the road was not that easy, but it was better. But we landed at the Douglas Crossing, 1974, this date. So at 11 o'clock tonight, I'm going to say hallelujah, anniversary time. We had a very small house in White Rock. His parents had found 2 days before we left the States. 2 days. They found a place for us to live. Our kids in their room are stacked 3 high. That. But it was on a little bit of an acreage, and I loved it. And I loved Canada. I used to listen to the radio to understand politics and so forth and so forth. And then one day the landlord was going to raise the rent. Okay, where do we go? Okay, let's, and at that time I was teaching a Bible study down the road with ladies, and I was teaching about being precise in prayers. And I have shared this with folks. I sat down and wrote down, we need a 3-bedroom house. 2 boys, 1 girl, us, we need 3-bedroom. A place for our dogs, same rent. Oh Lord, if it could have fruit trees, I would love that. If it had a view of a mountain, I would love that. If it had a Christian neighbor, I would love that. If the school was by, I would really love that. The little house is no longer standing. It's a parking lot now. But it had everything that I thought we needed as a family. And like I say, I did throw in some extra stuff that I like. He answered that prayer. So we lived there for 2 years. One day the landlord was coming. The rent was going to be upped. So what do we do? We prayed, and all of a sudden, Vaughn's parents lived in the same cul-de-sac. We had watched this house being built through the summer. Okay, you know. So Mom said, why don't you see about buying that house? We had received some money back from the government on income tax. This was Thursday. Saturday, we owned that house. We're still living there. It's paid for. And all I can say is, thank you, Jesus. But a couple of summers after we moved in, I received a phone call. It was devastating. My mother was on the phone, and a young man broke into her house. He knocked her kitchen door down, took a brick, put it in her face, broke her arm. Not a good break, a bad break. Drug her out to the backyard, had a knife, was in the process of assaulting her. My mother was on a phone to a friend at the nursing home that my church had. She called the nurse, who called the police. The police were there. That young man was arrested. So I said to my cousin, I'll be down. I'll fly right away. No, not yet. Let's wait and see. She was in ICU. Her jaw was wired. He says, give it a few days. So on the fourth day, she was taken out of ICU and just back into general population. She was going to be fine. But my cousin still said, don't come. Many years later, I know the reason why. I would not have recognized her. So God protected me. But something was happening in my heart. There was something that had sprung up that I did not like. Hate. Hate to this young man that hurt my mother. So I had a talk with God, what do I do? What can I do? It's there, and I don't want it to be there. So God and I had a prayer together. And he told me, pray for him. The words are easy to say, but to do it was a little bit more difficult. I had to rely on the Holy Spirit to help me to pray for this young man who hurt my mom so desperately. My mother was never, ever able to go back to work again. Then I found out that his older brother was already serving time for basically the same thing. I also found out that his mother went to the little church down the block. So, I prayed for this young man that he would serve his time for hurting my mom, and I also prayed that he would find the Lord Jesus while he was in jail. And I prayed for that mother who had two sons already in jail. So that whole summer of that year, that was my prayer. My mother and her abuser. Now, I don't know whatever happened to the Sheng. A couple of months back, all these years, because it happened 20-odd years ago, the thought came to me one time in church. I wonder if this young man accepted the Lord. And I thought in my mind, how can I find out? Can I call the chaplain of the prison? What shall I do? Because I kind of wanted to know. But God said, don't worry. So those thoughts went. I don't dwell on that anymore. I know that God heard my prayer in the beginning, and my mother came to visit us many times. We went down there many times to visit her. And then in 2012, our daughter Yvette and us went down to visit her. I called my mother a week before. She was living in a nursing home because she had other situations and she had to be in care. So I prayed and said, Mom, we're coming down next Monday. We'll be there. And something in my heart told me something's going to happen. She was 85, and our conversation ended up very weird. The nurse came on and said they had taken my mom and made her comfortable in her bedroom. So my heart said something's going on. So we flew down. We went to see my mom that Monday morning. I was feeding her her breakfast, and she had some sort of a heart attack. We're not for sure. But a day and a half later, she went home to be with Jesus. So on that summer day, I said goodbye to my mother. I said goodbye to my cousins, and I said goodbye to my hometown. And we flew home on Sunday, just after the funeral. So I'm thinking, okay, so I had to take care of all my mother's business. That took care of a couple of months, and I knew that she was resting in Jesus. Then a thought came to me. I wonder if there's any of my father's family still living. We knew that he had passed away in the early 70s. So let's see, my friend was very much into doing her family tree, and I thought, okay, I'll do that, I'll see. I saw. I found my father's obituary on Ancestry, and I read it, and I read it some more. And then I had to stop and think, what is this obituary telling me? Well, I found out I was not an only child. As a matter of fact, when my father left my mother, many years later, he had 9 children. So I was a person who always wanted to baby brother, but my mother informed me, no daddy, no baby brother. What gives? I could care less at grade 3. I wanted a baby brother or sisters. I didn't care. So I read the obituary. There was a name in it. I looked that name up, found a phone number, called it. She told me to call this number. I called it. I called. Not home, left a message, had introduced myself, called the next day. When I called the next day, it's a good thing I was in the bedroom leaning against the furniture. My niece, that I didn't know about, said, "We've been looking for you." They knew of my existence, but somehow or another they thought I lived in Germany, when really I was here. So different discussions. I did finish looking up the family tree. Some of my half-siblings had passed away from different things and that. So this one, we were doing a cruise, and after the cruise, we were going to go to Charleston, West Virginia, where my family is. So we went there. I met my sisters. My baby brother was 63 years old. And when we met, we hugged, we kissed, we cried. I cried a lot. But here it is. God knew it was in my heart. I've got a baby brother, I have sisters, and we've gone down there since to meet him. I have one sister yet that I haven't met because she wasn't able to join us for a gathering. But we're friends on Facebook. Go figure. So now I am not an only child. And I'm so happy with that. And top it all off, they too love the Lord. And in our midst of talking family stuff, I found out a little bit about my father's character. He loved children. But the only thing is, one time happened that somebody had put a Christmas tree up. He was not happy with that. He threw it out and he says, "We do not worship Christ on one day a year." So he threw the Christmas tree out. I don't know where that came from, but I found out that he wasn't a bum. But I was just happy to find out a little bit about his character, and I was very pleased what I heard. So I enjoyed our visit, and hopefully we'll be able to go back to visit my family. In the meantime, we pray for each other. So that's basically where I'm at today. I'm here with you as my family. I have my children, grandchildren, and a great grandson. Isn't God wonderful? And through this whole time, there was a verse that has always kept my heart still, no matter what kind of little bumps in the road that we come across. And there have been bumps, big bumps. But one thing I can rest assured, that God was with me as we went over those bumps. He was by my side, our side, our family. And this is the verse that I love, Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And all I can really say is, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus, for this life.